Shalom Aleichem Rabosai. Today is a festive day as we finish Masechah Shabbos. I hope you are incredibly proud of yourselves. We have been working at this for over 5 months. And certainly this is a worthy accomplishment, worthy of celebration. Even if we had not had the Gemara earlier about, if you remember, Abaye said, Titi Li, give me my credit, give me my due. Because whenever one of the Talmidim in the Beis Medrash and Yeshiva would make a Siyum, so I'd make him a big party. So certainly I hope you have some sort of festivities planned for the Siyum. But before we get to the Siyum, let us learn the last daf. So we are on Kuf Nun Vav Amud Beis. And we're at the Mishnah towards the bottom. Not the last Mishnah in the Masechta, but the second to last. Mechatchin es adluim lefnei habehema v'esanavein lefnei klavim. We have had this topic before. This is the machlokas that we've been rehashing, machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, or I guess that's the second part of the Mishnah, so let's get to that first. Sorry, mechatchin es adluim lefnei habehema. You're allowed to cut up deluim, which is gourds, in front of a behema. The chiddush here is that they are meichel adam, and to turn it into meichel behema, food for an animal, that is fine. Even though, you know, technically they weren't ready to be food for animals, but to turn it from food for people to food for animals, that's not going to be an issue of muktzah. But, and here's the what I alluded to beforehand, between the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, as to whether you apply a narrow view of muktzah or a broad view of muktzah. And one of those issues is, can something go from muktzah to not muktzah on Shabbos? We know that something can become muktzah, certainly, on Shabbos. But what about, can something go from muktzah to not muktzah? So what about this? That's what the Mishnah says, v'sanavela lefnei klovim. If an animal dies on Shabbos, Rashi says, again, he clarifies, shenis navla hayom, the animal dies today on Shabbos, meaning before Shabbos it was, let's say it was a dog. So it was mukta, right? Animals are mukta. Or let's say it was a cow, more accurately, if you read Rashi over here, shenis navla by hayom, uvein hashmashos, I saw omedis la'adam. Meaning, bein hashmashos, it was ready to be eaten by a person if you would shecht it. But on Shabbos it died. So according to the Mishnah, according to Tanna Kamma, that's Rabbi Shimon's Shita, it is going to be mutter for you to cut up that animal for dogs and make it into animal food. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im lo haisan, nevela merev Shabbos, asura lefisha ina min hamuchan. Right? If it wasn't dead erev Shabbos, so then it is asur because it was mukta when Shabbos came in, and something cannot go from mukta to not mukta, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So says the Gemara Itmar. Amar Ula says, again, this in this grand scheme of things, the wide-ranging machlokas as to whether we apply a broad or a narrow view of muktzah. Again, machlokas Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. Ula says that the halachas like Rabbi Yehuda. V'af Rav savar halach Rabbi Yehuda. Rav also holds halachas like Rabbi Yehuda. Mide karche dezuze. Because Gemara we learned earlier, in the Masechta, towards the beginning, right? In the, I believe, the first parak, Daf Yud Tes. If you look at Rashi over here, that was the case where we had some mats that go on produce or merchandise on a boat. And these mats, Rashi says, Makatzelas Asuyos Lesfinos, Lechasas Pragmatia, right? These mats, so Rav Aser Shmuel Shari, Rav says that they are mutzah, and Shmuel says that they are mutzah to use, and it's not a problem. So you see, Rav applies the broad definition of mukta, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, ve'af Levi savar halach Rabbi Yehuda, and even Levi holds like the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Ki hada Levi dava ma'isi treifas lekamevi amatava, because they would bring a treifa. Now this is a case where they shechted a cow and they were concerned that it was a treifa that it had a hole in the lung or whatever, so they brought it to Levi on Yom Tif. Aloha v'chazilei eleki yosef akil kalisa. And he would only check it if it was on top of a kalkalisa. Rashi says, ala ashpa, on a garbage heap. Why? As Rashi says, shem yiren a treifa yeni chenesham, because if he would see that it's a treifa, he would just drop it and he would leave it. Right? To Amar, he would say, dimel lomis kashra, maybe it won't be kosher, right? And then it won't be fit for eating, he can't eat it. Afilu l'klavim l'chazia, and he won't even be able to give it to the dogs. Rashi says, "Dinishchat hayom v'lo yuchlu l'taltel," right? Because it was shechted today, and you're not allowed to move it. Well, apparently he holds a like Rabbi Yehuda, who said in the Mishnah that if again an animal dies, right, again, you have a nevela now, that died was shechted on Yontif, right, it was alive on Erev Yontif, so you're not allowed to turn something from Muktzah to non-Muktzah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and that's what Levi said. You would have to leave it in the garbage heap, you wouldn't be able to handle it, it would be Muktzah. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, no, Halacha Rabbi Shimon, he holds that he applies a very narrow view of Muktzah. Vav Ziri Savar Halacha Rabbi Shimon, and Rav Ziri also holds like Rabbi Shimon, the Tanan, like we learned in the Mishnah. This Mishnah is in Beitza, Behema Shemesa, Loi Zizenu Mimkoma. If you have an animal that dies on Yontif, you should not move it. The Targum is Ziri, and Ziri said that this Mishnah means Behema's Kodshim. It's only talking about an animal that was hektish, that was designated, for example, for a korban. It's if you like a Rashi, the last Rashi on the daf. B'maseches beizim b'behemas kachim da sura b'hana. An animal, a kachim that dies is asur b'hana, so therefore it's muktzah. Ava b'chulin, back in the Gemara, b'chulin shalpir dami. Right? If it's a regular animal, so according to Ziri, you are allowed to move it. Right? Apparently, as Rashi says, chazi l'klovim, it's fit for feeding for animals. Again, that's like Rabbi Shimon, that's like Tanakama in the Mishnah. V'af Rabbi Yochanan amar halach Rabbi Shimon. Even Rabbi Yochanan holds like the halach is like Rabbi Shimon. Did Rabbi Yochanan really say this? Amar Rabbi Yochanan halach k'stam Mishnah, right? We've said before several times in the Sefta, Rabbi Yochanan always holds like the stam Mishnah. Utsnan, and we learned in the Mishnah again in Beitza, Ein Mavakin Eitzim in a Koros, Velo in a Koros, and Ishbra Biyantif. You can't chop firewood from Koros. Koros are beams that are pieces of wood that are made into beams that are supposed to be used for construction, i.e., they are Mukta. And even if that Koro broke on Yantif, right, clearly that's again Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, that they're Mukta. So why would Rabbi Yochanan say that the halach is like Rabbi Shimon? If Rabbi Yochanan holds like a stam Mishnah, again, this seems very clearly to be Rabbi Yehuda Shita. So Rabbi Yochanan, ahu k'Rabbi Yehuda, k'Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda masnilei. Rabbi Yochanan simply holds that Mishnah is not a stam Mishnah. That really, it's authored by Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda, and therefore he's not bound to hold like it. Tashma, I'll bring you another proof. Maschilin bar Remas atevin, avalo be'itzim sheba mukza. If you're going to get firewood, so you can allow to start from the Arema Satevin, from a pile of straw, but not from the wood that's in the Mukta. Mukta, Rashi says, this is a place called the Mukta. If you look at Rashi over here, about 8 lines down, Mukta Rechava Shachori Batim. Apparently there's a place behind houses, like a woodshed almost. Shehikta Achori Beso Lachnis Sham Davar La'ota. It's like a store area. Mukta, people usually don't go there. That's why they call it the Mukta. So you have to start from, if you're going to use firewood, you have to start from straw and not from the wood that's in the woodshed, shall we say. And that seems to, again, imply that all that stuff is Mukta. And again, if it's it's been Mukta on Erev whatever, I guess Erev Yomtif. Erev Yomtif. So then you can't just all of a sudden use it. So that seems to imply an extended view of Mukta according to Rabbi Yehuda, as Rashi says over here. The stam la'asaka, the stam, that stuff is for using for firewood. That seems to be like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says hazan ba'arzei va'ashoche. No, that's talking about what arazim is cedar wood and ashoche is. I'm not sure, a different type of wood, but apparently very expensive. Why? The Mukta Machmas Chisaron Kis. Because those cases, that wood is very, very valuable and very expensive. That's Mukta Machmas Chisaron Kis. So therefore, you're not allowed to move it because it's very valuable. You're not going to use it just for stam firewood. You would use it, I guess, in, I don't know, fancy firewood, or maybe it smelled nice or whatever. And therefore, I feel Rabbi Shimon Moda, even Rabbi Shimon, will agree that Mukta Machmas Chisaron Kis is one of the most stringent type of Mukta. If you have, for example, I don't know, an iPhone might be Mukta Machmas Chisaron Kis, depending on what type of it is. Even Rabbi Shimon will be Moda, that you're not allowed to move it, and you're not allowed to use it on Yontif. Mistam, again, it's not prepared for use on Yontif, and therefore it is Mukta, and even Rabbi Shimon is Modas. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't have to necessarily hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Again, this whole discussion, again, we said that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Shimon, and we brought two proofs that seem to imply that Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yochanan so far has dismissed both of them. Tashma, another proof. Ein mashken v'shochten es hamidbarios, hava mashken v'shochten es habaisos. You are not allowed to water or give water to or shecht the midbarios, which is wild animals. And again, we explained that they will graze outside of the tchum. Hava mashken v'shochten es habaisos, but you are allowed to again yontif shecht and give water to the baisos, to the domesticated animals. And then it seems to imply again that animals that are found in your domain, that's not muktzah, but animals that come from outside the tchum, for example, they are muktzah. Therefore, that seems to, again, seems to be like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you need to have them muchan, the item that you're going to shech needs to be muchan mibod yom. Right? You can't have an animal prance into your tchum, right? I'm starting to call Rabbi Shimon, so you can shech an animal that just showed up, right? Animals are able to be eaten for yomtif, and it's not muktzah. So apparently, we see that this stam mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, says it's azer. Rabbi Yochanan stama achrina kashkach. So ein achinami. That's a stam mishnah that holds like Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Yochanan has a different stam mishnah that holds like Rabbi Shimon. Beishamei omer magbin is meal shochan atzmos uklipin. Beisol omer mesalak is a tavla kula minara. Machlokas we had about a week and a half ago. That Beishamei says you can take the bones and the shells off of the table, they are not muktzah. Beis Hillel says that you have to shake the entire table or the tablecloth and move them that way because they are muktzah. And here's the kicker: and no, Rav Nachman says you have to flip the shittas. Really, Beis Hillel holds like Rabbi Shimon, and that is, you know, the Stam Mishnah that Rabbi Yochanan uses to say that, you know, again, halacha kabeis Hillel, that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. Right. One of them says that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon across Hilchos Shabbos, except for Muktzah Machmas Mius. In my Nihu, for example, what is an example of that? That's Ner Yashan, an old candle that you can't use. Again, an old candle meaning a, if you remember, that means a, from all the way from back in the beginning of the Masechta, that means a candelabra, a pottery, a candle, what do you call it? Like the little things you find in the archaeological digs, like a little piece of pottery that you stick a candle at one end and oil in the middle. So that if that was used already, so then the oil leaves a film, it leaves a residue. So they're not useful for anything. You can't put water or food or whatever in there. So that is muktzah machmas mius. It's disgusting. So even Rabbi Shimon, the halacha is not like him. Meaning that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we do have this concept of muktzah machmas mius. But throughout the rest of Hilchos Shabbos, so we hold like Rabbi Shimon, and the Rishonim discuss whether this means by muktzah, as you'll see, because the only topic, right, we've been talking about muktzah, and the exceptions we give are within Hilchos muktzah, right, that this is actually talking about muktzah, but not other cases like Deber Shem Reskavein, etc., etc., right? All the other machloksim we've seen, Rabbi Shimon or Rabbi Yehuda, or maybe it is dafka that across even those halachas as well. Okay, whether this is local to muktzah or not is an issue for Ian Shear. It's Shemon and Mizocha to go over the Masechta of Ian, so you can definitely check that out. So one says that everything is like Rabbi Shimon except for muktzah machmas mios. V'chad amar, and the other one damar says, b'muktzah machmas mios. Nami halach Rabbi Shimon. Actually, we hold like Rabbi Shimon that there's a very narrow definition of muktzah machmas mius, but levarmi muktzah machmas iser. Right, the halach is like Rabbi Shimon, except for muktzah machmas iser. If an item has an iser designation or use, so that is muktzah, meaning we hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Umayni hu was an example of that. That's ner shehidliku bo osa Shabbos. That's a candle that's burned out. If you used a lamp. I guess that's the word. If you use an earthenware lamp or whatever lamp and it's burned out, so that's been melacha muktzah machmas iser. You've done an iser with it, meaning it was mutta. Obviously, mistama, you lit the candle before Shabbos, but it was used for an iser purpose. And now, even though it's not being used now for an iser purpose, it is muktzah. Even Rabbi Shimon is moda, as we said before, that's one of the most stringent types of muktzahs. The Tanan, like we learned in the Mishnah, Kol HaKelim Nitl B'Shabbos Chutz Mimeser HaGodol V'Yaseh Shem HaKharesha. You can take any Kelim on Shabbos except for these cutting utensils. Meser Godol is a big saw, and Yaseh Shem HaKharesha is a piece of a plow. Again, both of those are very expensive, and therefore you're not allowed to take them. And therefore, even Rabbi Shimon's moda that there is a concept of mukza machmas chisar and kiss. Okay, last Mishnah in the Masechta. Mefirin nedarim b'Shabbos. We can be mefir nader neder on Shabbos. The concept of being mefir neder is found in Parshas Matos, where either the father can annul his wife's nedarim. Right, let's just say use that example, or his daughter's. But let's say his wife, husband to wife, also sometimes. By the case there, it talks about be made for a daughter's nether, and then if she's married, then the husband can do it. Okay, either way, the husband can be made for his wife's nedarim if a wife makes a nether to, I don't know, not wash dishes on Tuesday, whatever. So the husband can be made for that nether, can annul that nether. The pasuk says bayom, and this is going to be important towards the end of the Masechta, as you'll see in a second, that the husband has that day to annul the nether, and the Gemara is going to debate whether that's 24 hours or just until sundown. Either way, that's one way of getting rid of nedarim. So we're allowed to do that on Shabbos. V'nishalin l'nedarim, and you can also be nishal to a nether. If a person says, I don't want to, I don't know, eat bread anymore, and then he regrets it, he really regrets it. So you can go to a chacham or a beis din or whatever and say, had I known it would be so hard, etc., etc., or we can give some reason, had I known I would need to eat carbs to exercise, whatever, so I never would have made that nether. So that you can be nishal, that's called nishal. But that, in that case, and the Gemara is going to talk about it, but shehen l'tzorech ha-Shabbos, you can do that if, for whatever reason, it's Shabbos-centric. I mean, if the nether is specific to Shabbos, Rashi gives the example, if you, for whatever reason, take a nether not to eat today, i.e. being Shabbos, and obviously there's a mitzvah to eat on Shabbos. Okay, so you can be nishal to chacham. Upokin es ha-ma'or, and you can stop up a window on Shabbos, as if you remember that machlokes between the Rabbanan Rabbi Eliezer, whether you can take up a kak, that was a window shutter, if you can stop up a window. So here the Mishnah Pashtun is like, and you're allowed to, now this is going to be like one case that the Gemara will explain, but mudin es hamatlis, you can measure, I guess not yet, sorry. And that's in a minute. But mudnes hamatlas, matlas is a piece of cloth. Mudnes hamikvah, and you can measure a mikvah, the cloth, to figure out whether it is makabel or it will transmit tumah. And the mikvah, obviously, to find out if the mikvah is big enough, or volume, etc., etc. Why would that be a problem? So there is then the rabbanon of medida, of measuring, which, as we'll see, the Chazal waived in the presence of a mitzvah or letzorech halacha or whatever it is. Okay, and here's the case where the Gemara is going to need to explain. Umaisa bimei aviv shel Rabbi Tzadok uvimei Abba Shaul ben Batnes. There was a story in the days of those rabbanim. Shapaku esamaor betefiach. They stopped up a window with an earthenware jug, piece of pottery. Vekashu esamakida begemi, and they tied again a piece of a pottery type kli, a small kli. A makida is a small kli. Begemi, with a piece of reed, like a wet kind of flexible reed. Leida im yesh begigis poseach tefach, to know if there was a barrel, if the hole in the barrel was the size of a tefach, i.e. roughly the size of your fist, in lav or not. What in the world is going on? So that we'll get to at the bottom of the Amud. And from that story we learn shapokigin umudin v'koshrin b'shabbos, that you can stop up a window and you can measure and you can tie on Shabbos. Now, obviously, tying a knot is one of the malachos, and obviously we'll have to see what exactly is going on over here. But mistama, you can do these items, which are in general asur midirabanan, if there is a tzorech. If, let's say, for example, there's a mitzvah or a certain halacha that needs to get taken care of. Okay, so let's learn the Gemara, and then we'll clarify what in the world that last case of the Mishnah is talking about. Iboy lehu, they asked the question. Now, we said at the beginning, you can be mefer neder and you can be nishal on a neder, the husband to the wife, or going to a chacham, etc. But if you remember, they qualify the nishalin that it has to be l'tzorech Shabbos. The Gemara wants to know, hafara bein l'tzorech uvein shalom l'tzorech. Did the Mishnah mean to say that hafara's nedarim between husband and wife is regardless of whether it's for Shabbos or not for Shabbos, u'she'ilu l'tzorech in sh'lo l'tzorech lo, and going to a chacham to be shol in a neder is only if it's l'tzorech Shabbos, u'mishumachi kav fliginu mehadadi, and that's why they listed them separately. O dilma, or maybe hafara nami l'tzorech in sh'lo l'tzorech lo, or maybe even the husband to wife, the hafara's neder is also only if it's shaykh just for Shabbos. And the reason they listed it separately, simply because there's a different process involved. That Shelas Neder needs to go to Beis Din, and Hafara's Neder is just from husband between husband and wife. The husband just says, I annul this Neder, and in the end, it's over. So Tashma, let's bring a proof. The Tani, we learned in a Braisa, the Tani Zuti Debeir of Papa. Zuti was a guy. Was an Amora. He learned in the base manager of Papa. Mefirin nedarin b'Shabbos l'tzorach Shabbos. You can be mefir neder on Shabbos if you need it for Shabbos. Apparently, what do you see? L'tzorach Shabbos in l'tzorach Shabbos lo. Right. That's only apparently okay. So that seems to answer our question that hafaras neder is also only if it's l'tzorach Shabbos if you need it for Shabbos. Lishnachrina, another version of that story, or I guess the question really. Ibalu, that's the question. Litzorech atar vayukatani, meaning is the tzorech, meaning whether it has to be for Shabbos or not, is that on both hafara and she'ila? V'shelo litzorech lo, and you can't do it on Shabbos. Meaning, if you don't need to be made for the nether for Shabbos, you have to wait till after Shabbos. Alma, apparently, what do you see? Hafaras nedar meis le'eis. Now, again, we mentioned before that this is machlokas, right? That, again, we said to keep this in mind, that when the husband has bayom, a day to annul his wife's nether, is that 24 hours, or is that just until sundown? So, if you're telling me that shalol l'tzorech, if the nether is not related to Shabbos, and therefore you're not allowed to annul it, so that seems to imply that you have 24 hours from the time when the nether was made. Right? Because if there's no rush to annul the nether, if it's not related to Shabbos, just do it after Shabbos, what's the big deal? Probably should explain, like, what's the point? Why would it be usher to be made for nether? So it could be mimzo cheftzecha, v'davra davar, or it could be something shalul tircha, should be some extra, uvda dechol perhaps. So either way, if you're telling me that you have until after Shabbos to do it, so apparently you see you have till after sundown, and apparently you see you have 24 hours to be made for neder. Odoma, or maybe kikatani letzorech, the only type of neder to be annulled, when you say letzorech, that's only for Shabbos, that's only ashela hu dekatani. Avala first nedar mefilu shelo letzorech. Apparently, meaning, or the implication would be that hafaras nedarim, the husband annulling his wife's neder, that's only if it's whether it's for Shabbos or not. Alma apparently implying that hafaras nedarim kol hayom, that you can only do the mefir neder until sundown. Meaning, like this, if Chazal said that you can be mefir neder on Shabbos, whether it's related to Shabbos or not, apparently there's a time-sensitive issue here. If you don't annul the nether before Shabbos ends, so then the nether will take hold. So apparently you see that you only have until sundown. If you're telling me that the only nether that the husband can refute and annul is one that's related to Shabbos, so apparently there's no rush because you could do it after Shabbos, and therefore maybe the halacha is that you have 24 hours from the time when the wife made the neder for the husband to annul it. So Toshma, so let's see. The Tani Rav Zuti, the Beir Rav Papi, again, Mefir Nedarim B'Shabbos L'Tzorech Shabbos, L'Tzorech Shabbos In, Shalol L'Tzorech Shabbos Lo. But again, as Zuti taught in Beir, this version is Rav Papi's base medrash, that you can only be made for nether on Shabbos, the Tzorech Shabbos. So Alma, apparently, what do you see? Hafaras Nedarim Meis Le'eis. Apparently, you see that the husband has, 24 hours to annul his wife's vow. Al Rav Ashi said, one second, Vanan Tanan, didn't we learn this Mishnah Nedarim straight up? Hafaras Nedarim Kol Hayom. You can do Hafaras Nedar between husband and wife only until sundown. Right? Rashi says, Kol Hayom right across. Yeah? Ashi Techshach Vesulo, just until sundown. Right? V'yesh B'davar L'Hakol L'Hachmir. And that has a Kula and a Chumrah. Ketzad, how so? Nadra Leili Shabbos. Let's say she made a nether on Friday night, so they made for Leili Shabbos V'yom Shabbos Hashetekshach. So you have, I don't know, 23 hours, 22 hours, you have the whole day to be made for nether. Nadra M'chashecha, let's say she did it right before sundown, so made for Hashetekshach. You only have a few minutes until sundown to be made for the nether. Shem lo hefer, Mishachashecha, because if you don't annul the vow from before sundown, enu yachal hefer, you're no longer allowed to annul the vow. So we see that here it's really until sundown, not 24 hours. Somewhere says, you're right, Tanaihi, it's really Machlokas Tanaim. Detanya, like we learned in Raisa, Hafar, Sadarim, Kol Yom, Rabbi Yossi, Bar Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Amru, Le'es, Le'es. So it is a Machlokas Tanaim. Whether you can be made for nether, for either until sundown or for 24 hours. Okay. V'nishalim, the Nadarim, the Gemara says, Yivay Lehu, L'kishalo, Haya Lo Panai, Oh, Afilu, Haya Lo Panai. When we said you can be, go to a rav to be shoal on a nether, is that if you had a chance to do it before Shabbos, or if you didn't have a chance to do it before Shabbos? Meaning, is usually Chazal will answer something on Shabbos or Yontif, maybe because you could have done it in Erev Shabbos. And we find that sometimes by Machshirin Yochal Nefesh, some opinions, if you could have done whatever you needed to do to prepare for Yontif, and you didn't do it, so it's going to be Aser. Then you have a similar example by haircuts on Chol HaMoed, not exactly the same, but haircuts are Aser on Chol HaMoed because you should have got one covered the Yontif, an Erev Yontif. Okay, either way. So the question is like this. When we said you can be made for nether, is that only if you didn't have a chance before Shabbos, or even if you did have a chance before Shabbos? So Tashma, I'll bring you a proof. Da'az kiku le Rabbanan Rav Zutra Breder Rav Zera. The Rabbanan hung out with Rav Zutra Breder Rav Zera, v'sheru le Nidra, and they were made for his nether. Afogav da'avalam Panai, even though they had time to do it on Erev Shabbos. So you see that that's a pretty clear proof that even if you had time, you were still allowed to be shoel on the nether. Okay. Okay, now the story that we talked about before. What is going on over here? So, before we get to the story, a little bit of background. The din is like this. And if you have a mace, right, the mace obviously gives off tumah. If the mace is in a room, so then that tumah will spread throughout the room. The tumah, if you can imagine, almost goes up, hits the roof, and spreads out and down, and then consumes the entire room. If there is a hole above the mace, that's at least a tefach wide and long, I guess, right? The whatever that phrase is, the diameter? No, that doesn't work. Anyway, whatever it is, it's one tefach by one tefach. So then the tumah will go straight up and through the hole and up to Shemayim, and will not spread throughout the room. So now the case is like this. You had a mace, and we'll read it inside. Okay. Let's read it inside, and I'll try and explain as we go. Am Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. What's the case? Hilkati Kitana Hayesa Bein Shnei Batim. You have a very, very small alleyway. We're going to talk a lot about alleyways in the next Masechta. You have a small alleyway between two houses. But Tumah is a Sham. And there is a Tumah there, meaning someone is passing away or had passed away already. V'gigis seduka munachas agabon. And there is a barrel with a crack on top of the alleyway. Right? It's, if you can imagine, between the two houses, big barrel. Right? You have a very narrow alleyway, and the barrel is above the mace, but it has a crack in it. Right? A crack that goes through it. Upaku esamaor. So what happened? They used, because people saw this happening, and some of the guy was about to be nifter, and they used a piece of pottery. Again, if there's, just to clarify, if the barrel is over the mace and it is a complete barrel, so then it is an ohel and the tumah spreads outward, and if you have a hole in the wall of the house, presumably because they had windows, right, so the tumah will go into the house again, because if there's an ohel there, it will spread down and out. And again, if you're going to imagine that imagery of the tumah rays going up, hitting the roof, coming back down, spreading out throughout wherever is ohel, wherever the ohel reaches. So the first thing people did when they saw this guy passing away, Rahman al-Islan, is they stopped up, right, not to be cold and cold-hearted, obviously nothing they could do for him. They stopped up the windows with a piece of pottery, the back of a piece of pottery, not the mouth, but the back of a piece of pottery, so that, again, that would stop the tumah, if it would, in fact, be an ohel. V'kashu es ha-mekida begemi. And they tied this Mekida, Rashi says, Sherechva Tevach, is an earthenware piece of pottery that is one Tevach wide. They tied it to a gemi, to a piece of reed, Leda, to find out, im yesh sham begigis potech Tevach in love, to see, again, they went off up into the roof, and someone dropped a piece of pottery, again, because it's not Makabel Tumah, and to see if the one Tefach wide piece of pottery would pass clean through the barrel. If it would, then there was a Tefach wide in the barrel, and they would know that the Tumah goes straight up and through and not into the houses. If the barrel, if the one Tefach wide Kli would not go through, so then you would know that it was not big enough, it was not a Tefach wide, and the Tumah would in fact extend to the houses. So the first thing they did was they stopped up the windows, and then they wanted to know if they could remove that stop, that Kli, that earthenware jug, from the window, whether the Tumah would come into the house or not. Okay, and that's how we learned that you can stop up a window and then you can use a reed to tie, because again, it's a kosher derabanan. The reed is not going to last. It's not shalkayama. And again, you can measure, and that's a way of measuring. So you can do those three things, all those dinim derabanan. In the case of a halacha, of a mitzvah, of a din, you need to find out. So that is, there's no gzera there. Okay, that's the next line, the quote from the Mishnah. Umidivrayim lamdu shapokin umodin kosher mishabis. Ula ikla the Beresh Galusa. Ula showed up at the house of the Resh Galusa, the Beis HaMedrash. Chazi the Rabbi Bar Rav Huna de Yosef Avana Be'Avana de Maya. He saw Rabbi Bar Rav Huna was sitting in a tub of water, V'kam Mashachle, and he was measuring it. So Amarle Emar de Amri Rabbana Medida de Mitzvah de Lav Medida de Mitzvah. Right? Well, he said, one second, measuring for a mitzvah is mutter, but the Lav Bar Mitzvah mi Amor. But if you're just measuring stam for no reason, Is that mutter? So Amar Lei, so he said back to him, and I'll leave out the last word so you can do the siyum, Misasek ba'alma. It's really, I'm just Misasek. Right? She says, Shalom l'tzorech. Right? I'm not really measuring it. When is medida aser? It's only l'tzorech, if you need to know the measurements. But here, for an example, right, people need something to do either in the bathroom, okay, so he was in the bathtub, and the Lav Mitzvah, right, it was just la'suke ba'alma. He was just measuring it stam to keep his mind occupied and his brain working, right? He couldn't learn Torah. Unclear how he asked him the Shiloh. That's a good kasha. that's what he was saying. And that type of medida would be mutter. Okay, Rabosai Shkoyach Gadol, it's been a tremendous honor to accompany you through Masechet Shabbos. And it's Hashem, we'll go weiter. And the Heilig Shas tomorrow, we start Masechet Erevin, so we're not leaving the realm of Shabbos yet. We have about another 100 blot or so. I forget exactly how long, but it's definitely over a kuf blot. And it's Hashem, we'll spend the next 3 months in the realm of Eruvim and Rishus and Hilchos Shabbos still. But congratulations, Mazel Tov. I hope you have a big suda planned, and have a great day or night, depending on where you are listening to this.